For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Phased out, yo. I don't even know when my own shows start anymore. I'm like, March Madness. Well, at least that's over. No more Westwood One coverage of March Madness on The Fan. Like, I get it. The whole country cares. But right here, we care about baseball. We care about the Mets and Yankees. I start with the Mets because I'm going to start with the Mets. That game, I actually remember. The Yankee game feels like it was so long ago, I don't even remember it. Let's get right into it. I don't have that much time. This show will literally be over in 70 minutes. Keith McPherson on The Fan, getting phased out by Brooklyn Nets basketball. Can't wait for that to be over. All right, let me not waste my own time. Losers let it happen. Winners make it happen. 2 years ago, I dubbed the 2022 Mets the Make It Happen Mets because I watched so many Mets games where they imposed their will. They made things happen. You're watching the game. You don't think it can happen, and they make it happen. Back then, I remember saying, hey, Brandon Nimmo's a baller. When I watch the guy play at his best, he is a baller. Your Casamigos big shot of the night goes to Brandon Nimmo. I don't even have time to do all that tonight, but man, I mean, he went crazy, and you love to see it. Because he needed it. And here in New York, we want everything to be microwave, instant, faster than a New York minute. We want everything to happen right away. We got no patience, especially coming off of last season on both sides. We take this day by day, series by series, week by week. Stop there. We're only in the second week of the baseball season. This is the fourth series. This is the start of the fourth series, one game in. They haven't even played that many games. They're 11 games in. So I say that to say this, man. Last week when I was on, I heard folks trying to poo-poo the second win of the doubleheader. The day before I was on and I said, it's hard to take two when you play two, right? We all know that as baseball fans. It's a high chance that if you play two games, each team comes away with a win. And the Mets had to fight and scratch and claw for that first win. Carlos Mendoza's first win. But once you win that first game, it makes you believe. You gotta believe. That's a Mets slogan. So then they take that win, and they go on the road, and it's a much-needed road trip. And then they find a way to win a close one on the road in Cincinnati. Okay, then the next day, that game was an absolute mess. A laugher it ended up being. You still got to shake off some of the nonsense. Some of the kicking the ball around. Errors. Just the fundamentals. Lock in and play. The next day they come back. Francisco Lindor breaks through. They win their first series. Winning is contagious. So is losing. Losing becomes a habit. Same thing with winning. So then they carry that into a place where they've had a ton of losses. Truist Park. The Atlanta Braves, Julio Teheran on the mound, making his Mets debut against his former club. And they changed some things up. Harrison Bader, you have a seat. Let's put Brandon Nimmo in center field. See if the, find something here against better competition. That's all Nimmo needed, huh? He needed to see the Braves and the Braves fans and go back to old times. And we're still talking about that 2022 season and that series against the Braves where they had Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett lined up, whatever, forget the order, and they got quote-unquote punked. Well, they didn't get punked in that game tonight. I mean, I had some bets and some parlays on the Braves. I don't know what Ronald Acuna Jr. has been up to. He had nothing going on tonight. I don't know what Matt Olson was really doing. He had that one double late, but it didn't matter. I mean, Ozuna, shout out to Ozuna. I bet him first home run. I think he's got five homers off of Julio Teheran. So that was easy, easy money. But anyway, that game, they were down 4-0 in the third inning, and it was deja vu. Here we go again. I've seen this episode before. I'm thinking, oh, they're wearing the throwback unis. They're honoring Hank Aaron. Of course they scheduled the Mets. 877-337-6666. On this date, 50 years ago, well, yesterday now, it is now the 9th, you know, Hank Aaron hit home run number 715. So they had all the pageantry, all that. You know what it reminded me of? For the football fans, it reminded me of when football teams in college have that first home game, that first big home game, and they invite a smaller school, a 1AA school, like Michigan inviting App State to come play in the big house. And then App State rains on their parade. That's exactly what the Mets did tonight. It was a team win. Carlos Mendoza, that's a gambling man. I mean, he didn't have his top relievers. You're out there with Reed Garrett and Drew Smith and Jorge Lopez. I'm screaming, yo, press the Edwin Diaz button. No, they said those guys were down. Sulcer makes his debut, and I don't know what the hell the ump was like. I'm telling you, I am losing my mind watching baseball because these umps are so bad. Like, I think I could do a better job. I want to try out. Give me an opportunity. Not just the balls and strikes. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy, and I probably have, watch a ball right in front of him, hit the chalk, put his hands up for a foul ball, then put his hands down and signal fair ball. Well, which one is it? We all saw it. And now you can't undo it. You can't challenge it. Anyway, that type of stuff grinds my gears. But, man, I don't know. They made it happen. DJ Stewart breaks through. His first hit. Timely hit. I mean, guy goes deep when you need him to. Brandon Nimmo, I mean, the home runs he hit to tie the game, just to keep you in it, just to keep you hoping. It was a hell of a game to watch. And with the Yankees game being at 6 o'clock, 6:05, because of the eclipse, it was supposed to be at 2:05, and then they moved it. I mean, that Yankee game was over. That's the fastest Yankee game since 1992. That game was 2 hours. Done. So you could watch both the Yankees and Mets games like I did tonight. And I'm running out of time before we have to go to the break and the update, so let's talk about the Yankees. You say you need length? Nestor's got it. Pause. All I kept hearing was, oh, the bullpen. None of these starters can give us length. Oh, Nestor sucks. Again, slow down. So many people want to jump to the conclusion of Nestor sucks. I have said on this radio station, man, wait till these guys get home before we judge them. They went from Tampa to Texas to Arizona, and we're already making definitive statements about guys. Okay, Nestor was not very good against Houston. They won. He wasn't very good against Arizona, and he himself said that, knows that. He is a former All-Star, a competitor, a dog, some might say. And against the team that he grew up rooting for as a kid down in Hialeah, the Miami Marlins, he showed up tonight and he gave you the longest outing of any Yankee starter this season. Nasty Nestor night. Hard to get a ticket. Nasty Nestor night. I should have went to the game. I'm having FOMO. The two best games were not Friday, Saturday. Two best games were Sunday and Monday. Shout out to you if you were like, I'm not going to spend the money on opening day. The first night game I don't need to go to. Sunday was a hell of a game. And also, tonight's game, or last night's game, was a hell of a game. And I started off with Nestor, but I'm wearing a Volpe shirt. I'm looking at Volpe like, oh, this is the Volpe era. We're in the AV club. This kid looks like an all-star right now. Don't be in a rush to make him the leadoff hitter. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave him where he is. I'm loving watching his at-bats. And when I talk about the umps, this kid knows the strike zone better than most of the home plate umps. Yesterday, Angel Hernandez, I had to do laundry. I had to clean the crib. I had to be a family man. and I'm trying to chill, and I right away, Angel Hernandez with Gleyber Torres pissed me off, but I'm running out of time. A 7-0 shutout. Yankee fans, the last couple months, were talking about trading for Jesus Luzardo. So much so, they're willing to part ways with Spencer Jones. Stop that. Stop that. I mean, if that's the best we can do, I guess. But I think a better starter is going to materialize. We're definitely not giving up Spencer Jones. Luzardo ended up getting rocked tonight once we got to that fourth inning. When I look at this lineup and I look at Giancarlo Stanton, yeah, I was on Saturday. Folks were ready to drop him in the lineup. Folks were ready to trade him, cut bait with him, eat his contract. I said Boone stuck by him. Give him the homestand. Let him get back into his New York home. Let him get back into the groove at Yankee Stadium. I said they're going to keep him in the lineup in Yankee Stadium because he's hit a bunch of home runs there. And he's hitting there. And, man, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is not a honeymoon stage with this Yankees team. I'm in love with this Yankees team. I understand Gleyber Torres is an leadoff hitter. 0-for-5 today. It did not matter. Juan Soto hit his first home run as a Yankee using the short porch. And, I mean, this guy, he absolutely loves playing in Yankee Stadium. Whooping it up with the fans. I saw Johnny Lasagna, shout out to him, who actually missed his flight. So he had to stay in New York and go to another game. I saw him post that Juan Soto signed an autograph while a batter stepped out of the box to call time. Talk about being comfortable. Talk about hanging out in a place. And he said after the game, like, you know, the fans show so much love. I just got to show it back. He wasn't expecting. I think he even had like a little curtain call after his first home run. They asked him how he feels about the team in the clubhouse. He says, it feels like a family. It's only been 11 games, but it's a family, and we all want the same thing. So, man, Juan Soto's looking like he's right at home in the Bronx. And Volpe is looking like a Gold Glove shortstop. How many times do you want Boone to tell you that the kid won the Gold Glove last year? I mean, you know what Boone used to tell you? He used to tell you IKF was one of the best shortstops in the league. What do you think he's going to tell you about number 11? He's going to tell you that this kid is a Gold Glove shortstop, and you're seeing him make the plays, and you're seeing him hit home runs, and you're seeing him have good at-bats and drive the ball to right field. The kid grew up in one offseason because he's like that. He's a Jersey kid, and he's a fox. Volpe, fox, and a dog. What else, man? The bullpen I want to get into, because today we saw Josh Macheski, and I see people panicking about the bullpen. I think River Ave Blues on Twitter, and shout out to whoever runs the account, I don't know. I feel like they used to be a lot bigger, like maybe, you know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, but now there's so many accounts. But they put out a tweet on Sunday saying, oh, this Yankees bullpen is going to be burnt out by May. And I said, no. This Yankees bullpen is going to look completely different by the end of May. They look completely different from the end of March. All they're going to do is keep sending guys down, calling guys up, mixing and matching, signing guys, making trades, and you're going to see a bunch of random different arms. I got to hit one of my stats guys to go through all the names that the Yankees have already used out of the bullpen. But all in all, they're finding ways to win. First place Yankees, they're 9-2. And I know the standings don't matter right now, but the big bad Orioles that everybody was so worried about, take a look at them. And then take a look at your own guys in your lineup. Verdugo had a 3-hit night. Let me not leave Doogie the dog out. They're finding ways to put it together. And you got to be having fun right now if you're a Yankee fan. 877-337-6666. Man, I don't even have enough time to really get into it, but we will. Call me up. Let's take a break so we can get right back and get right back to the phones. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB. Well, congrats to UConn. The Hurley family, Storrs, Connecticut, everybody up there, all the alumni fans, back-to-back champs. Should have just taken them in my bracket. I'm like, nah, no way they go back-to-back. Of course they go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't really have time to talk hoops tonight. Don't even have time to talk Knicks tonight. I watched that whole Knicks-Bucks game, and honestly, I put out a tweet last night. I said, all right, I'm done telling you what the Knicks can or can't do. Nobody knows. OG back, and these guys have a championship pedigree from college, and there's enough pieces and they have a good coach. And you saw Middleton go down in that game. And literally when he went down in that game, I'm like, this is exactly what happens in the NBA. Like the starters that you think you're going to face or the rotations that you think you're going to face late in the season, it's not that. So if the Knicks can stay healthy with what they have, they haven't had Julius Randle. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, I wanted to also talk about all of these pitchers getting hurt. I saw Framber Valdez scratched today. Obviously, you heard about Spencer Strider, Shane Bieber. You obviously know about Jonathan Loaisiga here with the Yanks being done. Where is Garrett Cole? So much about that with the pitch clock. I think people just want to blame the pitch clock. It's not the pitch clock. The pitch clock's been around for 1 year. You think it's got that type of effect in 1 year? It does not. There's so many other things. And just read about it. So many theories out there. I think the number one theory is that guys are just throwing hard, right? They just start throwing hard when they're young. That's what they're taught to do. And that's how they try to get drafted and make it to the majors, right? If you're not hitting the gun at a certain number, you're not getting picked up. And they're just whipping their arms. You know, one theory I saw that I was like, oh, that's interesting. Somebody was talking about the fact that we're in the digital age and all of these pitchers have had a cell phone since they were kids. I didn't think about it, but I'm like, does your wrist ever hurt from having this big block in your hand all the time? It does. Imagine if you also had to throw every day. But I think the most interesting one is the sticky stuff ban. Now, the sticky stuff ban has gone on for 3 seasons, not just 1 season. And the sticky stuff ban has changed how these guys grip the ball. I could have a whole hour conversation on where we are with baseball, with the injuries, the amount of guys that are getting hurt, the amount of guys that are going to need Tommy John, how this is going to affect Major League Baseball. You better have pitching. And I also could have an hour show about the Yankees bullpen and how much I trust Matt Blake, Mike Harkey, and Brian Cashman to mix and match and sign and trade and wheel and deal. You're going to see a bunch of randoms coming out of New York Penn Station. All stops here. It doesn't matter who's coming out. Get the stops. And I know they were shaky a little bit this weekend, and it made me laugh because on this radio station, I said, I don't care if you got to beat guys 9-8. And that's how they had to win. Beat them 9-8. 877-337-6666. The Make It Happen Mets go down there and exercise some demons against the Braves. They go down there and they decide, no, this game's not over 4-0. They go down there and decide, even without Edwin Diaz and Adam Ottavino, and that they're still going to get it done. And it's just a different night for somebody else to be a hero. It's a different night for someone else to have heroics. Obviously, it was a team win, but tonight was a night where Brandon Nimmo said, yeah, this is why they pay me the big bucks. Two. Ross is in Bergen County, first up on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? I got to keep it a little lower. My ass is going to wind up back on the landline. What's going on,
man? Yeah, yeah, don't get grounded. I mean, we got to. This is just Monday night into Tuesday. Just,
you know, oh my God,
keep it low, keep it low.
Well, it's been a minute. I think at this point I could say first time, long time, how long it's been since I called you.
Yeah, I'm getting phased out, bro. I went to spring training. I wasn't on for a week. I come back. I'm like, when do I have a show? When am I on?
Yeah, you had a couple, I think, 5-hour ones. I was tweeting at you. We were out in Phoenix. Ironically enough, we were staying at the UConn Hotel, the one they were trashing and saying the rooms were too small. Because the lobby, they had the Husky logo everywhere. It wound up being their hotel. But when we booked that trip, we didn't realize the Final Four was going to be out there. I mean, the price of it, you know, cost a fortune. But either way, we got a couple Diamondback games.
Flex.
I know you said you've been a chase in that place.
Flex. I stay in the big room. I stay in the suite.
You're staying in the suite down in Toronto. They got the hotels on the outside. You can't make it up, man. Oh my God, you can't make it up. But let me start with these Mets. I'll say this: one of your more commonly used lines, since you've been a host here, is "Fool me, can't fool me again." I'm not sitting here trying to get fooled again. I'm not. You know what? On the Twitter and everything. You know what? Because you just said they weren't messing around with a 4-0 lead or something. It was the same, 5-2 lead that they gave up in miserable fashion a couple days ago with the scaling home in the eighth inning, four-run implosion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crap like that. Even today they tried to do it again. You know, I know Diaz has pitched, what, three of the last four nights, but, I mean, this is a series where you looked at winning one game, honestly, as a realistic success, and you're relying on Jorge Lopez coming off the worst season of his career. Now, you know, in hindsight, he shut the door, but he did it in the most, you know, by the skin of their teeth fashion as he could have. I mean, for Christ's sakes, the camera guy with SNY, he's not seeing the pearly gates after that.
Wide
shot of that flyout, man. You can't make. I thought
the
that
Tyrone
ball
Taylor
in
catch.
Florida, I swear to God. Oh my God, man, dude. And well, you know what, man?
I think they're anticipating the L. They're like, here it comes,
dude. I don't think I've talked to you once since the season started. I was in the airport out in Phoenix when they were getting no hit through 13 straight innings. They didn't have a single hit. It took a Harrison.
Yeah,
Bader,
that was brutal. City Field was brutal. It was cold. It was windy.
Oh,
there was nobody
brutal.
There.
Wait, how about this? It was brutal up until Bader's bloop single. You had the Queens crew. You had everybody, Boogie Wonderland, playing in the background. And how about this? Now we got our glow-in-the-dark grimace-looking City Connect jerseys that we could throw on.
Oh,
we
yeah.
I got a feeling playing in the background. It's full circle, man. It's just, I'm sorry. I don't want to say, you know what? And this is the same time last year. This was the infamous Frank video, ripping the shirt, looking like Hulkamania. What you going to do, brother? It's the same crap with David Robertson on the mound. I thought it was Jorge Lopez.
Listen, Ross, your owner has called for positivity. I got to let you go. Steve Cohen wants positive energy.
Yeah,
I want you guys to cheer these guys on.
It's just a chain reaction, one thing after the next. And you know what? Rami behind the glass, I was calling in. I told him, I said, you know, four out of the last five, don't let us get hot. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's just, I don't know. I'm not falling for the false open. How about Julio Teheran today? That being our big splash, I was saying, who's going to be next? Fulton Edwards? We're just going to bring back the whole 2014 Braves rotation? Give me a break.
Here you go. Adrian Hauser versus Ronaldo Lopez tomorrow. They got to follow it up. Thanks for the call, Ross. 877-337-6666. Talking Mets on the Fan with Eric in Manorville. Eric, what's up? You got it.
Hey, Keith, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
I called the other night and I got dropped. I'm so appreciative of you letting me back on the air with your staff. I'm going to be short and sweet, and I'm not going to get dropped this time. The reason I'm calling is that I'm glad the Mets won. We sweated it out. It was a big, big win, probably the biggest win of the year so far. But a couple of things like irk me as a Mets fan. Why is Lindor hugging the guy on second base in the eighth inning of a tight game against your prime rivals? Like, save the hugging for later, you know? Or don't even hug him at all. I don't know whose job that is in the clubhouse. Like, I played roller hockey and for fun in the beer league. And if a guy hit a guy in the corner by accident, he'd go, what are you doing, man? It's the seventh game of Stanley Cup. And I'd say, hey, dude, this isn't tennis. Now, you see a tennis match and two guys are right up a net and one guy makes a great shot. You don't see these guys dapping their rackets together. So
yeah.
I'm like, stop it.
I don't know. There's a few things.
I don't want a cold water on the game.
No,
game.
I understand. We want to see these guys be competitive, right? We want to see these guys go out there and it matter to them as much as it matters to us. Like, the opposing team is your enemy when you're between those lines. But these guys a lot of times show you it's not that serious, that they have friendships that trump the rivalry or the competition. And if they see their guy, which, you know what, whenever that happens during the game, I'm like, you guys didn't see each other in warm-ups? You guys... Like, this
about hugging the fans some more.
So that's why I'm like, yeah, some of that you're doing for the camera. And I think sometimes Lindor is a guy like that, like showing you that, like, yeah, I can do this. It's not a big deal. It's just a game to me. You guys take it way too serious. Similar to, you know, some of the things that we heard about social media and messages that were sent to his wife and were posted. Yeah. And I know there's been a lot of talk on WFAN about that.
Yeah, but that's off. That's no bueno. Can't do that.
Yeah, well, these kids can. That's what these kids get online to do. That's another thing. It's most of the time it's children.
The whole Facebook, Instagram, Twitter thing is like everybody can say whatever they want. Like if you used to say that to somebody in real life.
You would never. That's the whole thing. That's why they do it there. They can throw stones and hide their hands. They would never approach. They can't even get close to Lindor's wife to do that. But what else you got, Eric?
Oh, other thing, even that play at second base of McNeil when he slapped the tag and he flipped it up like to show the umpty out, the guy almost came off the base. You got to keep that tag on all the way through.
He didn't have him. He didn't have him anyway, so it was like it wasn't.
I mean, but his foot almost came off at the very end.
Yeah. Either way, that, you're talking about when Michael Harris stole second. He was clearly in there, and that's Michael Harris. Like I
definitely don't know. Tag, but he did almost toe tap that last second off the base.
Yeah, if he applied the tag and held the tag and he slid a little bit more, he would have been off the bag.
Right.
He's out. I see what you're saying.
That's another kind of thing, like tapping a guy up, like the same mentality of.
But you know what? That's what I was saying over the weekend when I'm like, it's not making fun of the Mets or trolling the Mets to say that they're not doing the little things right. That like the fundamentals, the like things you learn in little league, high school baseball, they're not locked in on. I know they have a new manager. I know these guys are supposed to be pros, but you got to do the basics first. You got to do the little things first, like you said, like applying the tag, keeping the tag on.
That's
some of the errors that we saw in that Reds game that led to that debacle, throwing the ball around, not knowing. Like it's just you got to tighten up. This is for real now. This is not spring training. This is not practice. These games count.
Especially against the Braves in the opening series. Like, make it happen. Make it look like a World Series game.
Well, they did. There was definitely some intense moments in that game tonight. It was highly entertaining, and I'm glad they got the win, because if they didn't win, after going down 4-0, it just would have been more of the same. Deja vu. The Braves own them. We can never beat the Braves. This team's soft. They stood up tonight, last night.
They're out of themselves. Hey, one other quick thing I wanted to say was I lost my train of thought there.
About
what you had said prior about the arm pitching and the guys getting injured, the pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, my son was a pretty good varsity pitcher out in Eastport, South Manor, out in Long Island. And when I had him warming up, you know, the guy would have him throw like 5 fastballs right before he took the mound in the hill in the first inning. And you could actually hear his arm whip, like a wiffle ball bat. I'm like, why doesn't MLB Network or one of these other stations get permission from one of these teams just so people could actually hear the talk that goes into these guys' pitches? Because when I stood next to my son, and he was a 12th grader, and he was like 6'2", 230, you could hear that thing go.
Yeah, no, that's almost, I don't know, if you've ever been on a baseball field or around guys throwing, that's almost a known thing. I've mentioned I was warming up on the field playing football. Joe Flacco could throw a football where you could hear his arm whip.
Wow.
Like you could hear the air.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the MLB Network or one of these stations doesn't say, hey, can we come out there with one of those big microphones, like the sonar, that look like satellite dish, and get close?
Well, that's something that guys got to do on social media. That's easy. That's low. That's low budget. Thanks for the call, Eric. 877-337-6666. Let's talk Yankees before we get to the break. I mean, I'll take the rest of the Mets calls. Mets fans, obviously, that game was great. Big win. You got to feel better about your season. I know people wanted to punt on the season. I know people wanted to give up on Nimmo and Lindor and everybody else, even DJ Stewart. Why the hell is he in there? Where's JD Martinez? But, hey, it's baseball. Give these guys enough at-bats. Give these guys an environment that they've been in before, against a team that everyone knows is one of the best lineups and teams in baseball. And that's the way baseball works. You know, they rise to the occasion. Now, on the other side, with the Yankees, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, it's the Marlins. Yeah, I get it that the Marlins are 1-10, but Jesus Luzardo was their best shot at doing something, and he did nothing, and they got blanked 7-0, and Nestor Cortez had a great night. Verdugo, Volpe, Rizzo had a knock. Stanton continued. So far, pretty good. Let's go to my guy, Avery, out in St. Louis, Missouri. Avery, what's up, man?
Hey, Keith. A good night for Nestor and a quick game. Quick game.
Two hours
and that, 1 minute.
You know what? And, like, because they changed the game, and like, I'm always on diaper duty and daddy duty. I usually feed my son at 5:30. The game started at 6:05. It snuck up on me. And then I got to put my kid to bed at 7. I'm like, yo, this 6:05 start is no bueno. I missed Juan Soto's home run. I missed it in live real time because I'm changing diapers and like, dun, 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 trying to get my son to like go to sleep with like lullabies and whatnot. And I have the call in my head, but I was pissed. I was like, I missed Juan Soto. I like to see it happen in the flow of the game. So I missed that. I'm sure you saw it.
Yeah, he took a bow. Yeah, well, on TV, of course. What was I going to say?
Volpe.
The
Nestor.
Yeah, I was going to say Volpe. Yeah. It's late here, Keith. I'm tired. Volpe. When I saw him in spring training, I was very impressed because I know, obviously, let me start that sentence again. Obviously, he has, the second best average in the American League right now.
It's him and Mookie Betts. They're only comparing him to Mookie Betts right now.
Okay, so it's a very small sample size, obviously. But for him specifically, and of course, I know everybody's talking about this, and it's not like I'm saying anything new, but from my own, I just want to point out the fact that from my own eyes, I can see it. Like, I saw it immediately in spring training. He looked bigger, he looked stronger, and he looked so much more confident.
Oh, yeah, I said, my boy been in the gym. He hit the weight room.
Yeah, and they need that. Boy, do they need that, because, I mean, the fact that he is showing that much progress just shows that they were right to give him that spot last year, and he could potentially, although, like you said, don't rush it, and I agree, don't rush it, be a leadoff hitter for this team, because you can't count on LeMahieu, and
you can't count on Gleyber. LeMahieu's not even here.
Well, no, I know, but I wasn't saying, I was saying that Gleyber's not going to be the full-time leadoff
hitter. He can't be for long.
Obviously.
It's so Gleyber versus Angel Hernandez, and then today he's 0-for-5, and yeah, they figured it out. But it's Volpe's spot, but you don't want to move him out of where he's having success. I just looked. His average is .417. You know who actually got up there with him? Orlando Arcia had a hell of a night at the plate tonight. I didn't put him in not one parlay tonight. Yeah, Orlando Arcia actually had a good night at the plate. Raised his average up.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a long
Volpe,
season.
I'm
so
already
far,
putting
so
in my vote. Volpe for the All-Star game in Texas this year.
All right, let's do it.
Thanks for the call, Avery. 877-337-6666. Volpe is the type of kid that, like, he's not going to fall off a cliff. Volpe is the type of kid that I was trying to tell you guys last year, give him time. He was 21 turning 22. No one wants to win more than Anthony Volpe because he's the biggest Yankee fan on the team. Like, he grew up in it. His whole family is Yankee fans. He grew up one. Like, I tell a story about when I met him. I met him during the ALCS in 2022, and he didn't sit down. We were in a suite. He did not sit. He looked antsy. He looked like he wanted to be on the field, and it was just like a weird thing. The next season to see the kid get his opportunity, them say he's not getting sent down, and look what you've got, right? A lot of you wanted to trade him, and a lot of you were saying he was a bust. And I don't know, man. Just like, watch this kid's at bats. Watch this kid in the field. He's 22 years old. He's only going to get bigger, stronger, more comfortable, better, and he looks awfully comfortable already. Like, if this kid, like, this kid is a baseball fan and a baseball, like, guy. Like, all he does is baseball. He loves it. So that's your shortstop for the next X amount of years, 10 years, 15 years. This is the Volpe era. Bruce is in Flushing on the Fan. Let's go for it, Bruce.
Keith, I need to get some things off my chest.
Okay. Did
number
I do something?
Number one, all the people who called into your show and other shows and said the Yankees should sign Corey Seager, and if Seager's a nice player, will cost you a lot of money. And as you said just now, all the people who called in and said Volpe should be traded for starting pitching, where are you guys now? You know, and for people who act like they're an expert or host a talk show and don't and say, well, it's only a few games. Anybody who doesn't see that Volpe is a different ball player than he was last year, and that this kid, is, as you said, is going to be the shortstop for the next 10 to 15 years, barring injuries off of it, they don't know anything about sports. They clearly don't know anything about baseball. That's number one.
Well said.
Number two, I'm going to give you three guys, under-the-radar guys, to watch out down on the farm. One guy is Caleb Durbin, the guy they got from Atlanta for Lucas Lutrich, the lefty reliever. He's tearing the cover off the ball, and stealing bases. That's the first guy. Second guy, Ben Rice, could possibly be the first baseman next year if they don't renew the option for Rizzo. Third guy, Tanya Mack, big right-handed, I think it was right-handed, reliever, plus fastball, 95 and above. He's doing well. You will see those three guys to keep an eye on are under-the-radar guys who may have an impact for sure next year, possibly this year. And also, and I know it's early, but anybody, and this may be for Mets fans, guys like Sal Alcala, who thinks that Soto is going to the Mets, just doesn't see what's happening with the interaction with Soto and his teammates. And you know how he's going to give a reasonable offer. He's going to give an offer between $500 and $600 million. And I hear Mets fans and Sal saying, well, the Mets owner is going to give him $700 million. I guarantee you that Soto will be Yankee next year.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. I don't disagree. This is a guy who walks up to Empire State of Mind. This is a guy who had these like New York cleats specially made with lights in them. And I've been to two games. I'll be there again later tonight. And I've watched the interaction. And I'm like, he's having the most fun he's ever had playing baseball. He's never been in an atmosphere like Yankee Stadium. He's never been in a place where the fans are talking to him the whole game, embrace him. He hit a home run today, and he wasn't expecting the fans to be on their feet applauding him, whooping it up with him. He's signing autographs. He's throwing the ball back and forth. You heard Susan, like, yeah, he's having fun out there. Yeah, duh. This is the main stage. This is Yankee Stadium. This is supposed to be the mecca of baseball. And, man, it's starting to look like this again, right? This is how it's supposed to look like, feel like. It's starting to sound like this again. Like, they fell off for a bit. They had an identity crisis for a little bit. You bring in a Juan Soto, an Alex Verdugo, a Marcus Stroman. Volpe grows up a bit. Austin Wells grows up a bit. Like, you already got Aaron Judge. Man, wait till Garrett Cole gets back. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call me up, 877-337-6666. We'll be right back.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, today or yesterday was a good day. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I didn't stare at the sun. I was staring at my son. I had to watch my son all day. And I didn't get any glasses. I did not go outside to look at the eclipse. I'm sure it was cool. Shout out to you if you enjoyed it. I wasn't into that. Even my mom was over to help me with the baby. And she's like, you don't want to? I'm like, nah, I'm just not beat for that. I watch my like sports shows. I got some emails and some business and some plans and some work and some things I'm trying to get in order. The summer will be here this fast. Like, I'm already planning moves for May and June. I don't have time to be staring up at the sun. I think I looked when it started and the sun was so strong, it like gave me the weird vision where I could see the sun once I looked away. I'm like, nah, I'm not beat for that. But then the Yankee game came. That was great. And then UConn did their thing and the Mets won. And here we are. So short show for me again tonight. Let's take as many calls as I can take. And then I'm out of here, and C-Mac is coming up next. But something Rami just said to me, shout out to Rami producing, you know, he remarked at how many fans were in the stands. And I said, well, yeah, the Yankees did this like $4 ticket giveaway. They had 31,000 for the first Monday game at 6 o'clock at night after changing the game time for the solar eclipse. That's what I mean when I'm talking about this is market one, this is the Mecca, this is the main stage. That doesn't happen everywhere. That doesn't happen in majority of the ballparks in this league. It damn sure doesn't happen in Queens. There's like maybe three other ballparks, Dodger Stadium, sometimes like Busch Stadium. Like you can't, not even there. Really, Dodger Stadium is the only one that rivals Yankee Stadium. And that's why guys want to play here. It's lit on a Monday. I'll be there tonight, Tuesday night. I guarantee you it's lit again. There might be even more people because like I'm saying, the FOMO is already kicking my ass. Like the FOMO that I have of being able to go to every Yankee game now that I've worked my way up to this point that I can do that and choosing to not go or choosing to, you know, prioritize family or sleep or other things first. I'm like, man, to hell with that. Like, I want to be in there when this is going down. I want to see this live. I want to be a part of it. That's the whole thing, right? Morris is in Brooklyn, back on the Fan. What's up, Morris?
Doing well.
Good to hear from you again.
Thank you. Good to speak to you. I still think that it's too early in the season to get excited. You definitely get excited. I just think it's still my view.
So, Morris, you got to call me when it's time for, like, the season to actually be, like, underway.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to call. Tell the producer, Keith said, I'm calling in whatever day it is that you wake up and decide, okay, now it matters. Now we're actually in the baseball season. Call into my show.
Yeah, that's right. The main reason why I'm calling is because I was at the game tonight.
I am jealous.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a great game. Although it was just the Marlins, so they should have beaten them, and they beat up on them good. But what I noticed a lot is that the fan base really loves Volpe.
Crazy. He's one of us. That's another reason why I'm like, I don't understand why y'all would disrespect him. He grew up in New York and New Jersey. His parents from the area. He came up the same way we came up, going to the stadium, rooting for the same team that we rooted for. He's one of us that made it.
Yeah, I think this is the first time since the Jeter days that there's someone who actually took over his position. Don't you think?
People embrace Didi Gregorius. It was tough for Didi. But like what we're seeing with Volpe, and as I'm already saying, all-star, I'm already starting a campaign for him as an all-star. That's what you're talking about. Like, wait, this kid is taking over that shortstop position, and we could see him doing this for a decade plus. How many years did Didi get? Six? 14 to like, no, I don't even think he got six. 14 to 19?
Yeah, they didn't jump on him like they did with Volpe, did they?
Well, it was a different type of thing. He got traded over here from Arizona. Thanks for the call, Morris. I just don't have the time tonight. Not trying to be like that. Just like, we're not about to go through the whole, like, all right, you know. But Morris is the same guy that called and said that he really started watching the Yankees every game in 2022, and that's why he wasn't impressed after the first two series. And then he called again tonight to say that he went to a game, but it's only the Marlins. And again, you can get excited, but it's still early, 11 games in, whatever. Morris will be the official fan to call the Fan into my show to tell us when the season starts and when we can actually believe in this team and get excited. But see, I very much like let people enjoy things. The season started for me on the 28th. I'm already excited. I'm over the honeymoon phase. I love watching this team. Like, I legit sit down. Like, today, the game started earlier than I even thought at 6:05, and I'm, like, scrambling. I'm like, yo, let's get everything out the way because I want to watch Nestor pitch. I want to watch these guys at bats. Like, this team is different, and we need that contrast from what we watched for 162 games last year. Remington in Manhattan on the Fan. Got it. You're on.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
What would we all do without sports, huh?
I don't know. People ask me that question, and like I had that in the pandemic, and I hated life. I couldn't watch old games anymore. I couldn't go to any games anymore. I like hip-hop. Like, I like music. I don't know. My wife had me doing puzzles and reading books. And I was like, this sucks.
Yeah, my girlfriend's an editor at Simon & Schuster, and she can't stand sports. We're just so polar opposites, let's say that.
Yeah.
But regarding the Yankees and Judge specifically, I don't know if I'm paranoid, but when he's swinging, I think he's still that core area.
I think so, too. I think he's played through it. I think he's still... Maybe he's not spring beat up, but he might still be a little sore from ramping it up this spring. I'm right there with you. I'm glad that he broke through. He hit a homer a couple days ago at the stadium. He hit a homer in Arizona. He looks more like Judge again. But, I had a take before this season that, like, we're just not going to get the Judge that we used to see. I want to see
it. All started with the toe. Yeah, you're right, Keith. And, of course, it all emanates from the toe.
Yeah.
And then up there, you know, the calf, blah, blah, you know, the one – everything's connected, and I think his mechanics are way off, and it's not so much his timing. I still think it's barking. I think that oblique, in fact, if you know the history of Judge, and I'm sure you do.
He had the oblique.
Both. Left when he first came up in 2016, he missed 28 games, I believe.
And he's then, a big guy. They say historically these big guys don't hold up. He's playing center field. He's running around. He's, you know, I don't know. I hope so, because that's a 9-year contract.
And the other thing, Keith,
year two of
it. I was looking at Baseball Reference, and I calculated. It's amazing when I read this. Judge has missed over 230 games as a baseball player, as a Yankee. Did you know that?
Just say it quietly so that more people
don't. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy, Keith?
It is. It doesn't feel like that because we love the guy and because we've seen him do ridiculous things, we kind of absolve him. We just like, you know, like if it was the NBA, we'd be like, this guy has missed a certain percentage.
Can you imagine, Keith, can you imagine the numbers he would have put up if he were healthy?
I can't imagine.
He averages 50 home runs a year based on 162 games.
Yeah, I know they are different with him versus without him, and we just hope that he stays healthy and he can be himself. Thanks for the call, Remington. 877-337-6666. Just trying to push through my calls because you guys are going to be talking to Big Mac in a couple minutes. You know, sometimes the overnight comes in clutch when you got March Madness and Doug Gottlieb yapping after the game goes off. Tony's in Providence. Tony, you're on the Fan.
Excellent points, as always. And, yes, I agree. I'm a Yankee fan. Came back kind of crowded at 6 o'clock game, you said. They changed the time. You're right on. And I'm happy for the UConn Huskies. What a team. What a year. I was a little worried tonight because the big man for Purdue, but certainly made adjustments, and they shut him down. They forced him out of their game, and they wear him down in the second half, buddy, Keith.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with, but I'm not surprised. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. I'm not surprised with UConn, but I'm so impressed with what Dan Hurley's been able to do there and what they've been able to do in the tournament. Like, they blow everybody out. I bet on them tonight to cover by 9.5. I just took the over like a dummy. I had a nice parlay that would have hit if I would have took the under. I just thought it was going to be points. I'm like, they're going up against Eddie. I mean, Edie did have, what do you have, 40 points? Like, I don't know. They're sick. Like, they're happy for, I've been up there to UConn. They are blue bloods. I saw a tweet. They've got more championships than Duke. They're the first team to go back-to-back since Florida. Good. Party on. They're not a New York team, but there are a lot of people in New York that went to UConn that root for them. Excellent. Great job. I've been up there for football, for Randy Edsall camp. Like, I root for UConn to do well. I love to see it.
And then, like you said, it's well-deserved. And I don't know, there's a lot of hype going in, but you want to see a good game. But I just thought they would find a way, like the Huskies do. And I guess they dominated all year, Keith. And that was okay.
Yeah, they were the best team. Thanks for the call. 877-337-6666. Dwight in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Did you watch them hoops tonight? Did you watch the last March Madness game?
Hey, what was the deal with Hurley running onto the court and the refs had to push him off, but push him back to his seat? What was the deal with that?
I don't know. He knew it was a wrap. I was listening to the call because I was driving in. I know his son had the ball at the end. I didn't see the video of it. Rami, did you see that? Like the refs had to keep him off the court till the time expired. I think he just knew. I even saw him in the postgame. He's like, "Well, what can you say about us? We won by a lot again." Like he's got his chest out. He knows that what he just did with that team, this back to back run, that's historic. You can't tell people what to do when they do what they want. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, and South Carolina and Iowa yesterday.
Yep.
The media was acting like they was giving all the love to Iowa and Caitlin Clark and didn't give no love to Dawn Staley and her Gamecocks. I'm like, what's up with that? They went 38-0.
Yeah, that trophy is all the love you need. Thanks for the call, Dwight. That chip is all the love you need. Caitlin Clark, you know, I don't know. I'm good on Caitlin Clark conversation. I don't have any time, bros. I don't have the time. Margie's in Queens. Margie, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing? I'm a big fan of yours, and I wanted to tell you that I noticed the melody that you had today, which I found out from the producer is Good Times from Ice, and I think it's a great melody. And
oh, Good Day from Ice Cube, yes.
Every time I hear that melody come on, it's the melody that I recognize, and I say, what a great melody. And you know, Keith, I think that should be your frequent theme song.
I think they play it pretty consistently on the Fan. Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. It's a pretty popular song.
Yeah, but I mean, I just if that is your, I think that's a great song for you to use all the time.
Yeah.
Or at least most of the time, because it's just so great. It has rhythm, and I'm a musician, and I think it's great. You know, I also wanted to comment on the fact that there's been a proliferation of injuries to pitchers from, you know, with the Tommy John surgery, and I feel that. The repetitive motion of pitching, and I put this on my Twitter, the repetitive motion of pitching, plus the fact that they have the pitch clock, I think is causing additional injuries to pitchers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a combination of things, and I think now everybody is really looking at every single thing that these guys do. I don't think it's one size fits all. Everybody's different. But there's definitely something going on, and something's got to change, and something's got to get fixed, or there's not going to be enough quality pitchers in Major League Baseball. Okay, I just looked up something for you.
Yeah.
That Ice Cube, Today Was a Good Day song, I knew it was a sample. It samples the Isley Brothers' Footsteps in the Dark. So
I knew that I recognized him previously, because yes. When the producer said that it was Ice Cube, I said, gee, I know this melody, and I've heard it before. Mm-hmm. Isley Brothers.
There you go. So it's
that's what they
do in music. If it was a hit once, you can chop it up, mix it up, it'll be a hit again. Thanks for the call, Margie. I'm like, I'm, you know, just trying to get the ball in the hoop before the end of the game. I'm trying to get as many buckets as I can here before the shot clock runs out. My guy Mario in Long Beach knows what to do. Go for it, Mario.
What's going on? I'll make this really quick. Just to expand a little bit about the shot, about the pitch clock.
Yeah.
How it affects the pitches. Now, I was a competitive bodybuilder many, many years. I mean, I was crazy. I went like 10 years eating only tuna, you know, no fat.
Mr. Olympia?
No. I really got into it because I was one of these kids that grew up and I was small and I was weak and I wanted to get strong. And I built myself up to the point where I was 140 pounds and I was benching 225 for 10 reps at 140. Which is pretty good, because that's a low body weight, you know?
I was about to say, I was doing that in college, but I was 205.
Exactly. And I was doing dumbbells, 105 for 6 reps, dumbbell presses.
Yeah.
So I was really into it. And I noticed that I had to give myself about 75 seconds or 90 seconds before I did another set. Now, if I had to cut that 15 seconds down, that would affect me drastically. So I'm looking at it the same way as a pitcher. If you're pitching 99 miles an hour, and then you can wait a minute and a half, now you can only do a minute. That's going to affect you. I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say, because I know you're in a rush. Thanks, buddy. Always.
Thanks for the call, Mario. I don't know. I don't want to blame the pitch clock. I think it's a good thing for baseball. But I understand pitchers were used to pitching at their own pace. What I believe is that these guys throw the ball as hard as they can so many times. It's just not good for you. You need to have multiple pitches where you're not trying to rev it up all the time. And I guess it's just inevitable. All these guys know they're going to get Tommy John. These guys are not robots. They're not superhumans. They're not X-Men. Like, it is what it is. You cannot throw your arm, boom, 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 80 times, 80 to 100 times like that and not have some type of wear and tear from it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I think it is a combination of things that we've listed tonight, from the repetition to the pitch mix to the pitch clock to the fact that all these guys are on their cell phones, tablets all day, to the fact that they took the sticky stuff out from Trevor Bauer and Josh Donaldson. They're like, oh, yeah, well, these guys are using sticky. And now there's no sticky stuff. Even look at Gerrit Cole being hurt this year. And Gerrit Cole was the main guy that they called out for the sticky stuff. Maybe he would be here right now if he had some type of spider tack or whatever it is. And he'd be probably a better pitcher the last couple years, because when he had that in Houston, it was different. All right, I got two more calls. Let's see if I can get to them. Derek is in Poughkeepsie on the Fan. Yo, why'd you spell Poughkeepsie P-O-K-I-P-C?
That's how it was in the system. I didn't even put it like that.
I know. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? I just want to tell you, Verdugo is a dog.
He is.
I am a Met fan. You know, I watched a lot of Red Sox last year. Don't know why, but that guy busted his butt. Every game was the heart and soul of that clubhouse. So I really think the Yankees are benefiting from him. He's a guy that actually situationally hits what you guys have been begging for
a long
time.
And his defense. I like a guy in left field that gets to the ball. He's there. Even if he doesn't make the play, he's there. He made a catch the other day where I was like, Aaron Hicks drops that and stares at it. Like, I like the mentality he's brought for sure.
He gets it. He just gets it. And, you know, I've been watching the Mets through the first, you know, few weeks of the season. I just want them to be competitive, right? Like, that's the most important part. We know we've not got everything stacked against us. I've been criticizing Mendoza, but I think tonight you got to give him credit for, you know, inserting Taylor into that game, right? You know, he came up big defensively, although he came in for offense. Still got to give
Huge
the
play.
Credit for, you know, putting him out there.
Huge play making that catch. Thanks for the call, Derek. That, I mean, the camera guys were like, game over, Ozuna again. He's like, nope, nope. Last call goes to Steve in Rockland. Go, Steve, go.
I'm going, Keith. First of all, the pitching, how about this? It's not just that they're throwing the ball that hard once they're professionals. They're doing it from the time they're little kids.
Yeah, from 5 to 45 for 40 years.
Okay. And now here's the thing, Keith. You've been looking at it. We've been saying it. Who do you think? Do you think that the analytic guy who told Brian Cashman that the Yankees need all right-handed hitters still works for the team? And why do you think he listened to that guy for so many years?
Something changed. When they had their self-audit, check your egos at the door meeting, something changed. I also give credit to James Rawson coming in as the new pitching or new hitting coach. Something changed. Michael Fishman is the guy that gets blamed for the analytics a lot. I haven't heard his name at all this year. Thanks for the call, Steve, but I'm not throwing him under the bus. What I'll say is I'll tip my cap to Brian Cashman looking at his roster and looking at how he tried to go bargain bin hunting and it wasn't good enough. So what he did was the first move he made was go get Alex Verdugo, dog. Go get Soto, big dog. And just keep adding guys like Marcus Stroman. I saw Blake Snell made his debut tonight. Who cares? Don't need him. Nestor had his best performance. We hope that Rodon follows up. And before you know it, time will pass. And then all of a sudden, here comes the reigning AL Cy Young winner, Gerrit Cole. Shout out to the Mets for not getting punked, fighting all the way and making it happen. I'm out. That's all I got. C-Max coming up next. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah. they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.